1 Timothy 2 instructs us to pray for those who are in authority over us. In America, we not only have the right to pray, but also the right and responsibility to vote. How do you know which candidate will uphold biblical values, though? FloridaVotesValues.com now has local voter guides available in several counties. Visit FloridaVotesValues.com to learn where the candidates stand on life, liberty, marriage, sex ed, transgender bathrooms, taxes, the Second Amendment, critical race theory, defund the police, and more. Again, visit FloridaVotesValues.com.
Welcome to The Lighthouse, a ministry of Covenant Tabernacle World Outreach Center. And now for today's message, here's Associate Pastor Brian Longworth.
As we gather today, I want to encourage you to pray for our nation, to pray for President Trump, to pray for the family of the person that was killed at his rally yesterday. What we witnessed really was just a potentially very dangerous situation. Obviously, for the person that was killed was fatal. But really, aside from the providence of God, President Trump would have gone to meet his maker yesterday. So we really need to pray for this nation, for God's kingdom to come, for God's will to be done. We won't be voting for the president in the presidential election until the general election, but it's still important, very important, that we keep our country and our leaders in prayer, and that we study the Word of God to see what God says about government. And by the way, God doesn't just talk about individual life and family life and church life. He also talks about government in the Bible. And our founding fathers were students of the Bible. They were also students of John Locke, who wrote his first and second treatises on government, which included 2,000 biblical footnotes. So footnotes that reference 2,000 different passages in the Bible to support the various ideas that he was laying out, many of which the founding fathers adopted in their early government of the various colonies and eventually in the government of the United States. So we need to be studying the Word of God to see what God says about government. And we also need to study where the candidates stand on these issues. And thankfully, we don't have to do this blindly. You don't have to just in the next week or two read the entire Bible, although, you know, if you could, and if you do, and in fact, I know you can, because it is possible. I've actually read the Bible. I tried to read it in 7 days. It did take me like 8 or 9 days to finish it. It was a big task, and I can tell you that I didn't comprehend a lot of what was there, but I got a huge view. But we're not actually asking you in the next few weeks to actually read and fully understand the entire Bible on government. I actually am preaching a series, and we'll continue this today, on applying biblical principles to government. And before we get into that, I do just want to go over two very important dates. We went over this last week, and I want to go over it this week as well. And these are the deadlines to register to vote for the primary election and also for the general election. So the deadline to register to vote for the primary election is July 22nd. And that's 2024, July 22nd, 2024. That's the deadline to register and also to change your party affiliation. So if you're not registered as a Democrat or as a Republican, I would encourage you to look at the parties, look at what they stand for, and change your registration to one of those parties, the one that you believe most closely represents the Word of God and what God says government should be. That way you can play a role in who will represent your party in the general election. In some cases, we will be selecting actually the person that will be in office in the primary. In other cases, because by the way, there are some cases where only Republican candidates, or in some counties, you might have some races where only Democrat candidates are running, and the winner of that will actually go into office. And sometimes they have a write-in candidate, but that's really a technical tactic that's used to close off the primary only to that party. But so really, some of the races will actually be decided in the primary. Some of the school board races, some of the city council member races will be decided in the primary. So it is very important to actually get out and be, first of all, be registered to vote. And again, I would encourage you to be registered to vote with a party so that you can participate in selecting the candidate that will represent that party either in office or in the general election. There are some races where we will be selecting who will run for the Republican Party or the Democrat Party, and in the November election. So I want to encourage you to get registered. Later on, and we're mentioning this because this will be the last time we go over this before the general election, but the deadline to request or the deadline to register to vote for the general election is October 7th, 2024. It's vitally important that you are registered to vote. Sadly, half of Christians aren't even registered to vote, and half of those who are registered do not vote. Do not let this opportunity pass you by. God has allowed you to live in a country where you can actually determine whether those who rule over you are righteous or not. We read last week that righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. That's from Proverbs 14:34. And Proverbs 29:2, when the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice, but when the wicked man rules, the people groan. So you actually have an opportunity to participate in making sure that the person who is in office is a righteous person, at least more righteous than the other. Sometimes we don't have, in fact, we never have a perfect candidate, but we need to vote for those who most closely represent the biblical principles. So I want to encourage you to do this. Also, for the general election, it's very important that you're registered to vote so that you can vote no on Amendment 4 and that you also show up to vote. That's the other necessary part of that. So you want to be registered to vote and then actually show up to vote. And vote no on Amendment 4, because Amendment 4, if passed, that will be again in the general election. If Amendment 4 is passed, it will allow abortion up until the moment of birth. I actually preached several sermons on that a few months ago. You can go to our church website, covenanttabernacle.com, or our church Facebook page, Covenant Tabernacle World Outreach Center, or our church YouTube channel, Covenant Tabernacle, and you can actually watch those sermons. Also, so we're going to be actually looking at the Bible, and we'll also quote from the Founding Fathers and also from our documents that actually founded this nation. So one of the things that we're going to quote from, first of all, Matthias Burnett, he was pastor of the First Baptist Church in Norwalk. And this was an election sermon. You know that pastors actually used to preach election sermons, And sometimes these were up to 3 hours long. Even on election day, the people would gather in the church and sit there for up to 3 hours hearing a sermon where the pastor would lay out biblical principles and would charge the people to vote according to biblical values. And so Matthias Burnett was one of those pastors. And he said this: consider well the important trust which God has put into your hands. To God and posterity, you are accountable for your rights and your rulers. Let not your children have reason to curse you for giving up those rights and prostrating those institutions which your fathers delivered to you. Look well to the character and qualifications of those you elect and raise to office and places of trust. Think not that your interest will be safe in the hands of the weak and ignorant, or faithfully managed by the impious, the dissolute, and the immoral. Think not that men who acknowledge not the providence of God, nor regard his laws, will be uncorrupt in office, firm in defense of the righteous cause against the oppressor, or resolutely oppose the torrent of iniquity. Watch over your liberties and privileges, civil and religious, with a careful eye. That was an Election Day sermon preached May 12, 1803. Our first biblical principle that we're going to look at today is that rulers must be just. And this comes from Exodus chapter 18, verse 21. You may recall what was happening at this time. Moses was really trying to do everything. And I don't know about you. There are certain people that are like that. I tend to be like that. I try to do everything. And then I realize, hey, you know, I can't do everything. But Moses was trying to do everything. Every time there was a case, every time someone came to him, Moses would anytime someone had a dispute, Moses would sit. He would sit there all day and he would judge these cases. And his father-in-law was visiting. His father-in-law said, "What in the world are you doing? You're going to wear yourself out and you're going to wear the people out." And so Moses, or Jethro here in verse 21 of Exodus 18 says this: "Moreover, you shall select from all the people able men, such as fear God, men of truth, hating covetousness, and place them such over them to be rulers." And he goes on to talk about what they would be rulers over, and we're going to talk a little bit more about that later. But the point here, the key point here, is that they were to be men that feared God, men of truth, men that hated covetousness. And that's what the qualifications that they should look for. And that's really what we should look for today as well. In 2 Samuel chapter 23, verse 3, we read, "The God of Israel said, the rock of Israel spoke to me." These are the words of David. "He who rules over men must be just, ruling in the fear of God." So King David is saying that God showed him that he who rules over men must be just. Rulers need to uphold justice. They need to be just. And really, to uphold justice, they need to be just. And if we elect those who aren't just, then we really should have no surprise. It should come as no surprise to us when injustice is tolerated and even sometimes perpetrated, even by the government. So rulers must be just. John Jay, he was in the correspondence and public prayers, he said this: Providence has given to our people the choice of their rulers, and it is the duty as well as the privilege and intent of our Christian nation. It is as well as the privilege and interest of our Christian nation to select and prefer Christians to be their rulers. Noah Webster said this: in selecting men for office, let principle be your guide. Regard not the particular sect or denomination of the candidate. Look to his character. When a citizen gives his suffrage to a man of known immorality, he abuses his trust. He sacrifices not only his own interest, but that of his neighbor. He betrays the interest of his country. And Noah Webster also said this: when you become entitled to exercise the right of voting for public officers, let it be impressed on your mind that God commands you to choose for rulers just men who will rule in the fear of God. He's there quoting from 2 Samuel chapter 23, verse 3, that we read just a minute ago. The preservation of government depends on the faithful discharge of this duty, that is, voting for and electing rulers, just men as rulers who will rule in the fear of God. If the citizens neglect their duty and place unprincipled men in office, the government will soon become citizens. Laws will be made not for the public good so much as for selfish and local purposes. Corrupt and incompetent men will be appointed to execute the laws. The public revenue will be squandered on unworthy men, and the rights of the citizens will be violated or disregarded. If a Republican government fails to secure public prosperity and happiness, it must be because the citizens neglect the divine commands and elect bad men to make and administer the laws. You know, if I didn't know better, I would kind of think that maybe they were able to hear from God. Maybe, in fact, it seems like they were able to hear from God and able to look into the future and to see some of the pitfalls that could befall this nation, because many of their warnings have come to pass as we as a people have rejected God and violated his precepts and turned from following him and turned and actually even either elected wicked men, or by our absence, by not being registered, by not voting, or by voting for wicked men, we have actually elected people that would actually not people that would uphold justice and righteousness, not men that would fear God, but men that would actually corrupt the principles of the Word of God. And so the next point is that judges must judge the people justly. And we see in Deuteronomy chapter 16, verses 18 through 20, you shall appoint judges and officers in all your gates, which the Lord your God gives you according to your tribes, and they shall judge the people with just judgment. You shall not pervert justice. You shall not show partiality, nor take a bribe, for a bribe blinds the eyes of the wise and twists the words of the righteous. You shall follow what is altogether just, that you may live and inherit the land which the Lord your God is giving you. So it is important that judges rule, that they administer justice justly. And one of the things that we see in the Bible when we look at the principles of the Bible is this truth. The Bible also talks in Job about God blinding the eyes of the judges. And we have seen in this nation much harm that has been done in the past by judges. And certainly in some cases is still being done today by judges. We have seen, in fact, in the Dred Scott decision, we have seen that the Supreme Court, the U.S. Supreme Court, ruled in a 7-2 decision that black men, men of African descent, could be owned by other men. That was an unjust decision. We have seen in another court case that the Supreme Court ruled that a black woman could be forcibly sterilized because, in the words of the U.S. Supreme Court, four generations of imbeciles is enough. And we also saw in Roe versus Wade and Doe versus Bolton that the Supreme Court ruled that preborn children were not persons and that they could be killed by abortion. And even the Dobbs decision did not write that decision, because all it did was turn that back to the states, where some states have actually expanded abortion rights. And if Amendment 4 passes in the state of Florida in November, abortion will be legal up until the moment of birth, and people will be coming, women will be coming to our state on abortion vacations. They'll be coming here to actually have an abortion, and from their states. And it is really sad what is happening. Judges must judge the people justly. Also, our Constitution and laws must be based on God's law. In Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 8, we read, "And what great nation is there that has such great statutes and righteous judgments as are in all the law which I set before you this day?" And so God, when he showed Israel his law, he shows them, and he actually lays this out, and he shows them his truth so that they can actually practice his law, so that they can apply biblical law to their civil law. And certainly we need to do this today. In doing so, God says that the nations around them would look and say, "Wow, what great nation is this that has such all these laws which God had set before the people?" We also see that rulers should honor God. In Psalm 33, verse 12, we read, "Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, the people he has chosen as his own inheritance." And this is not just for rulers, but it's also for the entire nation. The nation needs to honor God. You know, we sing "God Bless America," but there's another phrase, "America Bless God." And we need to bless God. We need to honor God. We need to obey his commandments and his precepts. If we do so, then God will bless America. And that's the message of Psalm 33, that God blesses the nation that blesses him, the nation that obeys him, the nation that fears him, the nation that keeps his commandments. God blesses that nation. We also see from Scripture that rulers must defend innocent human life. In Genesis chapter 1, beginning of verse 26, "Then God said, let us make man in our image according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. So we see here that human beings should be protected because we are created in the image of God. It is not what we can do, not what we can accomplish, not how beautiful we are or how handsome we are, not how wealthy we are, not how prosperous we are, not how influential we are or popular we are, or what talents and skills we have that makes us special and makes our lives worth protecting. But our lives are worth protecting because we are created in the image of God. And because we are created in the image of God, then God requires that human being, human life, innocent human life, should be protected. In fact, this is the very reason that God instituted the death penalty, to protect innocent human life. In Genesis chapter 9, verse 6, we read, "Whoever sheds man's blood, by man his blood shall be shed, for in the image of God he made man." And so that is the reason and the basis, the image of God is the basis for the protection of innocent human life. And the violation of that, that murder should be, people that are convicted of murder should actually be executed to protect human life. It's not just a punishment, it's also a deterrent to help protect your life and my life. And we will continue and go over and cover more biblical issues applying to government in the future. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.
You've been listening to The Lighthouse, a ministry of Covenant Tabernacle in Port St. Lucie, Florida. Join us each Sunday morning for The Lighthouse. If you've been blessed by this broadcast, visit www.covenanttabernacle.com, where you can give us feedback and make a donation.
First Timothy 2 instructs us to pray for those who are in authority over us. In America, we not only have the right to pray, but also the right and responsibility to vote. How do you know which candidate will uphold biblical values, though? FloridaVotesValues.com now has local voter guides available in several counties. Visit FloridaVotesValues.com to learn where the candidates stand on life, liberty, marriage, sex ed, transgender bathrooms, taxes, the Second Amendment, critical race theory, defund the police, and more. Again, visit FloridaVotesValues.com.
Hi, Alexander Alfano inviting you to listen to the Religious Liberty Report, our weekly news brief on religious liberty news on WCNO 89.9 FM at 1 p.m. on Saturday afternoons. Hope to see you there.
They show clear.